Support for Newsworthy comes from Enlivion, providing affordable housing and supportive services to help build strong foundations for a better future for hardworking families, seniors, and the disabled in Charlotte. More information available at enlivion.com. And from Thrivent Associate Representative Mark Hargrove. Thrivent is a financial services company helping individuals and families manage their money and plan for the future. More at mark.hargrove@thrivent.com.
From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. I'm Eric Thiel. Today marks the one-year anniversary of the deadliest attack on law enforcement officers in Charlotte's history, when four officers were killed while serving a warrant. Nick Della Canal has more.
Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Officer Joshua Iyer had been named the department's Officer of the Month just the month before. On April 29, 2024, he was part of a team serving a warrant in East Charlotte, trying to arrest a wanted man with a history of weapons possession. As officers approached the house on Galway Drive, the man opened fire from a second-story window, killing Iyer, along with NC Department of Corrections officers Sam Paloche and Alden Elliott, and U.S. Marshal Thomas Weeks. Four other officers were shot but recovered. The suspect was killed. On Sunday, Ashley Iyer, the wife of Officer Iyer, said she's tried to move from questioning to accepting.
For the last year, I have asked myself countless why questions. I've wrestled to find answers and logic to uphold where my life currently stands. The many days it still feels like I'm right where this nightmare began, I have worked to realize that not all questions can be answered with reason or fairness.
She was speaking at the Tunnels to Tower Memorial Stadium climb at Bank of America Stadium. Deputy CMPD Chief Jacqueline Briley said the department will hold a private memorial Tuesday. Nick Della Canal, WFAE News.
A gas leak on East John Street in Matthews shut down 485 in both directions in southeast Charlotte Tuesday morning. NCDOT estimated it could be noon before the roadway fully reopens. Matthews police say Piedmont Natural Gas was on the scene for repairs. Charlotte City Council voted Monday night on a timeline that calls for swearing in a replacement for Republican Tarek Bakari in early June. Bakari, who represented South Charlotte's District 6, resigned earlier this month for a job as Deputy Administrator of the Federal Transit Administration. Some council members pushed for an expedited timeline, including Ed Driggs, who said Bakari texted him and asked the council to move as fast as possible. But others, like Luana Mayfield, said Bakari's recommendation doesn't carry any weight.
I respect the fact that our former colleague has a recommendation. That's not his job. Our job is to receive the applications from the community, from the residents who live in the district, who are part of the party that is being represented, and for us to make the best decision that we can.
Applications for the seat will open Wednesday. Interested candidates must be registered Republicans who live in District 6. Council will vote on Bakari's replacement. South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson said Monday that he's directing the state's law enforcement agency to investigate online fundraising programs that benefit Democrats. Wilson, a Republican, singled out Act Blue in a letter to the head of the state law enforcement division. Wilson asked SLED to look into smurfing, or the practice of funneling improper donations through smaller contributors. On Sunday, President Trump called Act Blue a, quote, illegal scam, and suggested the group should be investigated or put in jail. North Carolina's poultry flocks have been designated avian influenza-free. Agriculture Commissioner Steve Troxler said that means the state can resume exports of chicken, turkey, and other poultry products. Nearly 1 billion, with a B, broiler chickens are raised for meat in North Carolina each year, making them the state's biggest agricultural commodity. That doesn't mean the bird flu outbreak is over. The virus is still present in wild bird populations in North Carolina, and the state is monitoring for more outbreaks. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools says it's working to finalize placements for families who registered for pre-K earlier this year by Wednesday after a delay. James Farrell has more.
CMS says it extended its placement deadline to allow for a, quote, comprehensive evaluation of its pre-K locations across the district. As a result, many families who had applied and gone through the registration steps before March 9th have still been waiting to hear about where their kids were going. The district said in a statement it hopes to build long-term relationships between pre-K programs and their respective school communities, and that, quote, frequent relocation is not the intention. But the district says the evaluation was necessary to create, quote, better alignment with the district's long-term needs, and to reevaluate classroom locations that did not reach full capacity or lacked full-time staff last year. CMS told WFAE it's working to deliver the first round of placement notifications by April 30th. James Farrell, WFAE News.
The Charlotte Hornets Sports unveiled plans Monday for the next phase of their renovation project at the Spectrum Center. Kenneth Lee has more.
Construction on Phase 2 of Reimagined Spectrum Center has begun, and officials said the work will be complete by the time the NBA season begins in the fall. The focus in Phase 2 is fan experience. When fans return in the fall, they'll see changes on the Belt Concourse with new signage and community gathering spaces, including direct visibility of the arena floor. Spectrum will also add to the lower level with 1,400 new seats. Hornets Sports and Entertainment also plans to replace all seats within the Arena Bowl. Executive Vice President and Chief Venues Operator Donna Julian said it was important to get fans' input on the future layout of the arena.
We talked to our season ticket members. We talked to some of our promoters. We definitely engaged people. We wanted to make sure that we heard what people were thinking and what they wanted as we kind of finalize these renovations. Yes, absolutely.
The North and South districts of the arena will also get a major refresh. The North will have open gathering areas and a 360-style bar. In the South, fans can expect a Southern hospitality theme in that area. In 2022, the Hornets extended their lease at the city-owned arena to 2045 after City Council agreed to spend $215 million for the arena renovations. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
The National Weather Service has resumed translations this week for non-English speakers. Julian Berger has more on the change.
The National Weather Service stopped providing translations earlier this month because a contract with an AI translation provider had ended. The contract ended as the Trump administration hopes to slash federal funding, including jobs at the Weather Service's parent agency, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Over 68 million people in the U.S. speak a language other than English. In North Carolina, that includes nearly 1 million people, about 10% of the population. These services are important for non-English speakers during severe weather. The NOAA says translation services were expected to be fully operational by the end of Monday. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Street closures have started in Uptown Charlotte ahead of this weekend's Love and Life Music Festival. Streets are closed around First Ward Park as workers erect outdoor stages where Gwen Stefani, Benson Boone, the Dave Matthews Band, and others will perform Friday through Sunday. Festival director Greg McConnell told reporters the festival won't just feature national acts this year.
The local music community will be strongly represented with 18 bands on our local stage. Over 10 of Charlotte's best restaurants will be featured at the festival. Several amazing local artists, some of them students, will showcase their work throughout the event. And nearly all of Charlotte's sports professional teams are getting involved.
Organizers say ticket sales are in line with last year when some 86,000 people attended the inaugural Love and Life Festival. Will the Carolina Panthers 2025 draft class make the team a contender? Well, nobody knows yet. Tommy Tomlinson, in his On My Mind commentary, says the anticipation is a beautiful thing.
NFL experts have given the Carolina Panthers mostly positive reviews for last week's draft. This is the first time in a while we've been able to use mostly positive and Carolina Panthers in the same sentence. The Panthers took one of the top-rated wide receivers, Arizona's Teteroa McMillan, with the 8th overall pick in the draft. In rounds 2 and 3, they added pass rushers, Texas A&M's Nick Scowerton and Ole Miss's Princely Umamiellen. Princely, by the way, has three brothers, Prince, Prince Will, and Princeton. The Panthers rounded out the draft with a running back, a safety, a nose tackle, a tight end, and a second wide receiver. Teams draft to fill holes, and the Panthers have holes everywhere, but wide receiver and pass rusher are the widest and deepest, so the team doubled up in each of those spots. If you quit following the Panthers at some point, that's totally understandable. Since 2020, they have the worst record in the league. And Bryce Young, the quarterback they traded a treasure chest for 2 years ago, spent the first season and a half of his career looking like an all-time bust. But toward the end of last year, Young started playing like the player the Panthers had hoped for. They nearly beat both Super Bowl teams, Philadelphia and Kansas City, and won two of their last three games. The season went into the books at 5-12, but into fans' hearts as a long-awaited sign of hope. Hope is what the NFL draft is really all about. History shows that even a lot of top picks never pan out. Most players drafted in the lower rounds soon end up as high school coaches or insurance agents. Scroll through the Panthers' draft history, and you'll find a lot of names you forgot or never knew. But every so often, a gem emerges from the silt. In 2021, the Panthers spent a fourth-round pick on running back Chuba Hubbard, who's become the team's most reliable weapon. And back in 2001, in the third round, the team took wide receiver Steve Smith, a Hall of Fame finalist and probably the second best player in Panthers history behind Cam Newton. Is Teteroa McMillan this year's Steve Smith? Is one of those pass rushers this year's Julius Peppers? We don't know, and we won't know until this fall at the earliest. But from now until then, we get to luxuriate in hope. And Panthers fans, we deserve all the luxury we can get.
Tommy Tomlinson's On My Mind represents his opinion, not the opinion of WFAE. You can also listen to Tommy's podcast, Southbound, where he interviews notable Southerners. And for Tuesday, April 29th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.